Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can waste another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can conquer it. I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. Any road. The steeper, the better. Because my all-new Santa Fe is available with H-Track all-wheel drive, so I can hit the trail without a worry in the world. Heck, with three rows and best-in-class rear cargo space, I can pack the whole family in with all our gear. We've got available dual wireless charging for our phones, so we'll never lose touch with civilization, and we won't lose touch with the primordial power of Mother Earth. So which is it? Waste the weekend or do something a little more epic and conquer it in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
Peter King, NBC Sports. Peter, it has been a while. How you doing, man?
Everything's going great, guys. How are you?
We are doing fantastic as well. Look, first question I got to ask you is, I saw this noted on a couple of articles written about Commissioner Goodell and how he's addressing this season under the unprecedented circumstances that we're in. And he keeps saying completed season, not like full season. We know what Major League Baseball is going through right now with the Miami Marlins. Do you have any knowledge of what the NFL's plans are if they should encounter something like what's happening in Miami in baseball?
No, that decision hasn't been made yet, Tiki. And I don't think that Goodell is going to announce it. First of all, I do not think that I don't think he's going to say if, you know, I talked to Dr. Fauci in May, and he said to me, absolutely, he said, if you have four or more guys on your roster who test positive in a given week, you ought to shut down. You ought to go quarantine your team. You're out for 2 weeks. Okay. I don't think the NFL is going to do that. Now, I'll tell you what I do think the NFL is going to do. I think that Roger Goodell has been listening to ideas from members of the Management Council Executive Committee, led by John Mara, the co-owner of the Giants, and the Competition Committee, led by Rich McKay, the president of the Falcons. And he has been talking to all people on the executive committee and on the competition committee about, tell me what you think are good ideas for, you know, when we have to step in and do something about either canceling a game, taking a team off the field, or whatever. And here is how a very prominent league person put it to me. Said one, I do not think Roger Goodell is going to allow games to be forfeited by teams. I think he would be much more likely to ask a team if for some reason that team would be at an unfair advantage and or couldn't field a real competitive team in a given week. I think he would be more inclined to, I think he will strongly consider maybe adding a week at the end of the year to play in a week that, say, week 18. You know, there are 17 weeks in the regular season.
Yeah.
So, you know, the wild card games are supposed to be on the weekend of January 10. I would not be surprised if he would basically keep that window potentially open for some makeup games. If, for instance, in a given week, the five offensive line starters of the Pickett team, the Carolina Panthers, all tested positive for COVID 1 week and couldn't play. So look, I'm just giving you very much a for instance.
Yeah.
And very much sort of an example of the way I think Roger Goodell is going to consider alternatives that most people would say, oh, wait a second, you can't do that. Well, yes, you can, because this is the strangest year in NFL history.
No, but, Peter, would that imply that if it was more than a week, then you would just keep pushing back multiple weeks? Like, what if it's 3 weeks? I mean, that's one situation that you just outlined. That's manageable. That's doable. All right, push back the wild card, whatever. We'll push it. We're fine. We have a 1 week window. We're good. But what if it bleeds into multiple weeks? Do they just keep kicking
that's
the can down
question.
The road?
I can't. I don't know. I know that obviously it's something like as of right now. If someone tests positive, let's say on a Tuesday, you know, or because we don't know yet what
yeah.
days the testing will be. It might be every day, but then again, it might not be. It might be every other day. But if someone tests positive, let's just say on a Tuesday, and, you know, or multiple people test positive on a Tuesday, well, at the very least, that player or those players are gone for that week's games. And they're gone for most likely, depending, there's a bunch of different scenarios. But they're gone even if they're asymptomatic, even if they are not showing any symptoms, but they test positive. You know, they're gone for at least that week's game, and who knows how long. If they're symptomatic and they're having difficulties, they could be gone for months. But
yeah, they could be.
But and this is the big but, you know, I think that all of this stuff is – one of the reasons that I wrote my column yesterday that I think Roger Goodell needs to have the power and the influence to be able to make decisions like that. Clearly, he would have to at least touch base with D. Smith, J.C. Treader, but I think there's going to be someone who's going to need to make the very difficult decisions like the ones I just described, and I believe that Goodell is going to have decisions like that to make this year. I do not think he has made any hard and fast rulings or final decisions on how he'd handle it. But and so let me just pose one other thing for you. If, say, for instance, the offensive line or four or five of the offensive linemen of the Carolina Panthers are test positive and are not available in a given week, it's easy to say next man up.
Yeah.
And I think a lot of people would say next man up. Go get a left tackle off somebody's practice squad. People are going to say that. But at the end of the day, Roger Goodell also has to be concerned with how much he will allow, say, Teddy Bridgewater, if he's healthy, if he's got five new offensive linemen in front of him,
yep.
How fair is that, number one? And two, not just for the team, but how fair is that for a quarterback? So there's a lot of decisions that no commissioner's ever had to make before that I think Goodell's going to have to make this year.
Unenviable position for sure. That is our buddy Peter King, Peter King Podcast, NBC Sports, with us here on Tiki and Tierney, CBS Sports Radio.
Peter, now you just had John Snyder, the general manager of the Seattle Seahawks, who just pulled off one of the big trades that we've seen in a while with Jamal Adams, and it gave up a lot. The reasoning makes sense. They're Super Bowl viable. Their window's open. Jamal Adams is a difference maker. You know, when you look at that trade, is it win-win? We looked at it as win-win yesterday. Do you follow that? Subscribe to that?
That's exactly what I said in my column. I thought it was win-win, but I think there's two asterisks on this trade. The Seahawks' average draft position in the last year is 23.4 in the first round. So, you know, as Pete Carroll told me, I talked to him Sunday, he said, look, we don't pick in the top 10. So chances are we're never going to have a chance with Russell Wilson as our quarterback. We're never going to be picking in the top 10. We won't have a chance to get a player like Jamal Adams. So I think his point was that means that when you normally pick lower in the first round, you know, here's the other way to look at it. You know, if I asked you, Jamal Adams was the sixth player picked in the first round, I think in 2017. So let's just say that the Seahawks had the 23rd pick in the first round that year, and they wanted to trade up to get Jamal Adams. It would have cost that 23rd pick plus next year's number one.
Yeah.
So it's not an overpayment for this player. The only way it's an overpayment is it's going to cost him a lot of cap money to make that deal with him. But in talking to Schneider today, I mean, they are 26th in the NFL in committed cap spending for 2021 right now at $146 million. So they've got money to sign Jamal Adams next offseason, and I think that's what they plan to do. The one thing that I found interesting from my conversation with John Schneider is I believe that much of what he does and the way Pete Carroll operates is, you know, we're going to win now. And that's why I like the way they operate. They had an opportunity to significantly improve their team, and that's what they did. Two very quick things about the Jets. I applaud Joe Douglas for hanging in there and wait until he gets an offer of two ones. Good for him. Okay. However, and this is however with a capital H, the New York Jets over the last 10 years basically have nothing except Sam Darnold to show for all of their first round picks. So at some point, you can't just say, hey, we got five picks in the first three rounds next year. We're in great shape. I mean, look, you finished last in your division three of the last 4 years. You were favored to finish last in your division this year. I don't care how great a trade you make. Stop finishing last in your division.
Yeah, I got it. Listen, I hear you. I mean, I'm a Jets fan. I don't really disagree with any of those points. Although, you know, Seattle better sign Adams with all that.
Sign him.
Yeah, you know, I hear you. But if
he wants to be there. You know, he wants
correct
to be there.
But he also wanted to be in Dallas. You know, he changes his mind a lot, Peter. But we're on the same page. Let me ask you about Dalvin Cook. Jamal wants to get paid. Dalvin Cook wants to get paid. The difference is that Dalvin never got paid as a first-round talent because he was a second-round guy. The Vikings clearly need him. When does this get resolved here? There's a lot of smoke. What's going on with Dalvin Cook?
I think there's a couple of things that you have to be conscious of when you think about Dalvin Cook right now. I think that when you look at teams that might want to make a deal with a player this year, you know, first of all, it's hard to say to that player, you know, you got to play great one more year before you really get paid. Because if you're the Wilf family, if you're Rick Spielman up in Minnesota, how do you know what the financials are going to be next off season? You know, you barely know what they are this season. And how do you know what they're going to be next off season? Because even though right now, you know, the Vikings are not crippled on the cap next year. I looked this up on Sunday because everybody was talking about Dalvin Cook. Is he reporting? Is he not? They've already got commitments of $189 million next year, and the cap is definitely not going to be $189 million next year. So, look, that's a fungible thing.
Mm-hmm.
And it won't. They can make changes, you know, easily on that. But I think that Dalvin Cook, if I were Dalvin Cook, I wouldn't want to get paid right now because in the financial uncertainty of the NFL, I think you'll be lucky to get to basically get the money that Derrick Henry got in Tennessee. And if you're Dalvin Cook and you think, hey, I got a 40-45% chance to win the rushing title this year, I would play it out and take my chances on a contract next year when at least next March you're going to have a decent idea what the financials are around the NFL.
Peter King, really, the information's great. It's been a long time. Miss having you on the show. We're up against a heartbreak. Otherwise, we'd keep going. But that is Peter King, three-time National Sports Writer of the Year, podcast extraordinaire, NBC Sports. Thanks a lot, Peter. Really appreciate it.
Thank you, Peter.
Great to be on with you guys. Thanks a lot.
You could spend the weekend doing the same old whatever, or you could conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.